You got to get passionate about this thing. If the cross doesn't move you, nothing will move you.
I'm offering you something that's greater than silver and gold. I'm offering you something that's greater than an increase in your pay on your job. I'm offering you a...
There's no shortcuts to the glory.
We've got to get past week-to-week living. We've got to multiply our prayer life. We've got to multiply our effort.
And we are willing to give. God will always give it back to us in good measure, that is pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Hey, thanks for checking out our Christian Life Church podcast. You will be hearing from one of our pastors or guest speakers, either at our Frankfort or Lebanon campus. Prepare your hearts and your minds to receive a word from God. Thanks for listening. Enjoy and receive this message.
Galatians chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read four verses out of the book of Galatians, and I'll try my best tonight to not hold you super long. I know this is holiday week, and everybody's ready for festives and festivities tomorrow. We're going to have a great time and looking forward to fellowship and being able just to enjoy some time together with the people of the Lord. So be sure, if you have any questions, ask those questions tonight. So if you haven't been part of a CLC July 4th picnic, we want you to be with us. It's always a good time to be together, a lot of fun, a lot of food, and a lot of good fellowship. So bring somebody with you. Everybody's welcome. So this is a good opportunity to bring somebody with you. I know we have guests coming to be with us, and looking forward to it. Amen. Galatians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin with verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, I want you to say that with me, the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Then an heir of God through Christ. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the process. God has a process. Everything in our life, God works through processes. Everything is a process. And it all, anything that God does for us is done at the fullness of time. Now, I'm going to just... to segue into what I want to talk to you about tonight, I just want you to open your mind a little bit. The church was started at the fullness of time. The Bible says in Acts, the second chapter, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come. That means it was a completion. It was the fullness of time. The scripture is full of ideas that God waits for the maturity or the completion of time. I want you to look at your neighbor and tell them everything is a process. Everything is a process. I want you to get that tonight. Everything is a process. We live in a society that looks for ways to shortcut the process. We could talk about weight loss tonight. It's a bad day to talk about weight loss with July 4th tomorrow. The world is full. People are getting rich on shortcuts. Booksellers are selling books, teaching people how to use the shortcuts to become a millionaire. The dietitians are becoming rich based on the idea that they have a shortcut. It is a shortcut. Everything is about an easier way. There is a shortcut. There is a quicker way. There is a simpler way. And all to feed, they want to shorten the time, shorten the commitment in everything that we do. Man has for years looked for the fountain of youth, because the process of time has its effect on all of us. I pulled out a few pictures the other day and looked, and wow, I could not believe how that I have aged. My wife, however, still looks the same. But the process of time affects all of us. God works through these processes in our life at the fullness of time. The fullness of time. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman under the law. God didn't do it before the completion of the law, but it was at the fullness of time. It was a time that God had foreordained, that he had planned for the salvation of mankind. In your ministry, in your personal calling, in your work with the Lord, whether you teach a class, whether you lead a small group, whether you have a pulpit ministry, a music ministry, a Bible study teaching ministry, whatever you do in the kingdom of God, everything will operate and work through a process. God is a God of process. A lot of people, many people, disqualify themselves from being used by God because they try to short circuit the process that God has designed for their life. Here's what I want you to get early on in this Bible study tonight. The things that you face, deal with, and go through often are part of the designed process that God has for your life. It's a process. God is developing you through the process. He is growing you through the process. He is teaching you through the process. He is training you through the process. How many of you have ever said, I just guess I need more patience? And God puts you through the test to develop patience in you. It's part of the process. It's how God works. But you will never be able to short circuit the process. If we cut the process short, we have a lot of young people, young men and young ladies with a call of God upon their life. They're anointed of God. They have a future. And I wasn't aware tonight that they were all going to be out, and I'd kind of planned to kind of teach in their direction a little bit tonight, although we have some younger students that are here tonight. And so I'm going to just speak to them as I'm speaking to the adults tonight. But I want you to never forget that just because you have a call of God on your life at a young age does not mean that God is going to allow you to bypass the process. When we travel north and travel up into the Chicagoland area, we do enough travel that I decided one time that I was going to stop. And we went into one of the kiosk centers and we registered our car with the Illinois Department of Transportation. And they gave us a little iPass, and it just Velcros onto our windshield. And so when we go north and we get to the tollways, we just zip right on by. It appears we bypass the process, but the truth is there is a price for that convenience. I could stop, I could go, I could take the exit, I could pull over, I could stop, and I could pay my $1.50. And I could go on to the next one and pull over and pay my $1.50. But instead, I have an iPass. We signed up And so when we're driving through, we don't have to slow down. We don't have to detour. It saves a little time. And we blitz under. And when we do, that thing scans and it automatically rolls up and it goes on to a credit card that is eventually billed to our bank account. And we pay that $1.50 plus. There is a premium charge that is connected to that that we pay as a yearly service to be able to have that option, which means we pay more to be able to blitz on by and stop. See, the process, when we think we're bypassing the process, there is always a payback on the back end. In everything in life that you do, you may find a way to skirt the process today. You're seeking ministry, you're seeking your future, you're seeking career, whatever it is that you're going after. But you must understand that somewhere you are going to go through the process. You are going to get an education somewhere. Either you're going to go to Purdue or IU or wherever, Ball State or Ivy Tech or wherever. Or maybe it's the school of hard knocks, but you're going to learn the lesson. You're going to learn the lesson. You're going to go through it one way or another. Now, there's a lot of gifted and talented people that are a blessing in many areas of this world. But in their work for God, they have hindered themselves by trying to bypass the process of growth and development. Is it okay tonight? I look around and see, I think Spencer's my only son in the room tonight. We just talked about this scripture the other day. It's probably a scripture I've talked about as much as any. And it's Luke, the second chapter, and verse number 52. And I want you to get this, and for our young people that are here tonight particularly, I want you to get this. And for every person that is questioning about your future and how God is wanting to use you and what the process looks like, I want you to understand that even Jesus had to go through the process. Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. I want you to get that. And Jesus. Now see, we read about Jesus at his birth. We read about Jesus when he was somewhere around 11 years old or so, when he is amazing the scholars of his day, when he is apparently lost from his parents, and he's in the temple, and he's discussing the law. And while he is there discussing the law with them, his parents are looking for him. And then Jesus falls off the scene again. So we see him at his birth. We see him as a lad. And then we don't read about Jesus again until the beginning of his ministry when he's 30 years old. What is going on with Jesus between his birth as a baby? One time we read about him, one day in his life between his birth and 30 years of age. You're going to have to help me. Between his birth and 30 years of age, we read about him one time. And during that one day in his life, that we read about him, there's one scripture that speaks what happened. What do you think happened? What do you think was going on with Jesus during that time frame between his birth and the beginning of his ministry? When one day we read about him, the scripture gives us, Luke 2 and 52, gives us insight into what was happening in Jesus' life. He was increasing in wisdom. He was getting wiser. He was increasing in wisdom and in stature. You know what stature is? It's physical size. So while Jesus is growing in wisdom, he's also growing in physical size, in wisdom and in stature, and in favor. Favor's a good thing. And he's growing in favor with God and man. So some people grow up with the idea in mind, it doesn't matter what people think about me wrong, it does matter. Because you want to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. Because that's part of the process of growth and development. How is someone going to ever take Jesus' ministry serious if he just pops up at 30 years of age and they have a laundry list of what his past life had looked like? But Jesus was increasing and in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man, and so must we. If we're going to be effective in the work of God, we must fall in line with the process of God, and we have to allow God's process to work in us and work through us. God will always require a process before he reveals his promise. There will always be a process before a promise. So if you've received a word, maybe it's a word of prophecy, maybe God has spoken to you in particularly, maybe somebody came and spoke over your life and somebody said, hey, this is what I see God doing in your life. This is where, don't discount it. It's what God wants to do. But before you get there, there may be a process. See, it doesn't mean it's a false prophecy. If somebody speaks something over you and tomorrow you wake up and you're not there, that doesn't mean it's a false prophecy. It means you've got some growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You have some process to go through. You've got to go through the process in order to reach the promise. When Abraham was given the promised land, he was nowhere on a journey toward a promised land. And that process was long and hard, that included 40 years in a wilderness for an entire people, an entire nation. 40 years in the wilderness. They had to go through the process. Look at all the people of God. Look at Moses and his life. Look at all that he had to go through, from bulrushes to Pharaoh's daughter, living in Pharaoh's palace, to tending sheep, to burning bush experiences. There were all sorts of things that Moses had to go through before he ever was the great leader that led God's people out of bondage. And so we have to submit ourselves and understand there is a process that I must be willing to go through. There is no shortcut to the promise. A lot of people do understand, some don't. But there is a process for the burden of ministry. Everyone here today is in some way familiar with processes. Every business has its processes. Every manufacturing has processes. A process is a series of steps or functions that are necessary in order to obtain a certain goal or desired outcome. Processes must be completed in order for things to become complete as intended. Thus, the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. In the fullness of time, he allowed the completion of time to unfold before he ever fulfilled. Jesus did not come to abolish or destroy the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. You know why Jesus waited till he was 30 years old to start his ministry? Because it was the law. He waited until he was 30 because he fulfilled the law. Was Jesus not God? Could he not have done it? Yes, he could have. But Jesus himself submitted to the process. If he wouldn't have submitted to that process, then he maybe would not have submitted to the process of the cross. when it would have been easier for him to call 10,000 angels down, when it would have been easier for him to say, this cup will pass from me. Instead, he said, nevertheless, not my will. Nevertheless, not my process, but thine be done. So God has established processes by which he manages his kingdom. And we all must recognize the significance that these divine processes of God has in our life, and understand that when we are going through these processes, sometimes they're painful, sometimes they're hard, sometimes they're laborious, sometimes they're taxing, sometimes they become the trial of our faith, but in everything, God is working it for our good. He's working it for our good. Just because you go through a few things in life, things don't go the way you think they should. Family doesn't turn out the way they should. Children don't do the things you think they should. Friends don't go the way they should. Marriage doesn't seem to be going the way you thought it should. All of these things that you're going through, in everything, God will use them. Some of those things may not be the plan of God. It may be the will of the flesh, but God will work through those things to teach you the lesson that you need to teach in order to be able to place you at the next level. I believe that God works through our mistakes and bad choices to make life better for us, because if God allowed us on our own, we would shipwreck our life. We would be in a mess. But God makes poor choices, bad decisions. He takes all of those things that we make, poor choices, bad decisions, and the Lord says, okay, now I'm going to bring all these together and I'm going to find a way to work this for your good, because God is working everything for your good. Don't ever think God is working against you. You better understand, we are our own worst enemy. God is never working against me. God is always working for me. Just because you go through a few things doesn't mean that God is working against you. It actually means that God is working something better for your future. And so since you're here, he's going to let you go ahead and learn a lesson while you're here. Often, be careful about your prayers. Is this okay tonight? Be careful about what you pray for. Sometimes we pray for God to remove the trial, remove the test, remove the situation because it's painful, it hurts, it's hard, it's difficult, we don't understand it, and we're praying for God to remove it, and God is saying, no, I want to give you the grace to go through it, because it's part of my process to get you to the promise that you've also asked me for. Because God's trying to take us to somewhere better than what we could ever have gotten ourselves without his help. I've known and watched several anointed and talented individuals. They start out well. Their life and ministry was full of potential. But they end up shipwrecked between the promise and the fulfillment, because they try to short circuit the process. They want to skip the process and just get to the promise. It's like, I mean, most of us today would be all right with skipping work next week and just getting the paycheck. Can I get an amen? You'd just be all right with that. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. That's not how life works. When some folks are met by a little resistance in life, they give up, they quit trying, or they end up bitter about what they went through because they have the wrong perspective. Instead of understanding, hard times come to all of us. The scripture says it rains on the just and on the unjust. That doesn't mean that I'm not living right just because I'm going through all sorts of difficulty and test and trial. I've shared the story with you before. My father was sick and in the hospital. A man came and he said, he closed the door, walked into the hospital where my dad is. He said, Glenn, the reason you're sick and in the hospital is because you have sin in your life. You need to confess your faults to me so that you can be healed. My dad looked up at him and he said, Leo, even if I had sin in my life, I'm not foolish enough to tell you so you could go tell everybody else. I'm not sick because I have sin in my life. I'm sick because I've probably put my body through things that my body was never intended to go through. But just because you're sick, just because you're going through a going through, doesn't mean that God is against you. God is still working everything for your good. It's a time of testing and trials and chastening that we must endure in order for God to prepare us for greater things. If you are satisfied where you are and you don't want to go anywhere beyond where you are, and you live your life with no challenges for the future, no challenges to be better, to do more, to become more, to accomplish more for God, to go deeper in God, chances are the enemy will not fight you as much. I do believe the enemy fights those with the greatest potential and the greatest desires. That's no excuse for us to say, well, good, then I'm just going to quit having desire and just let the enemy win. The deal is, if you give up in that area, the devil's going to attack you somewhere else. You give up in your ministry, the devil's going to start attacking your faith. You give up on your calling, the devil's going to start attacking whether or not you even believe that there is a God. He'll start challenging your doctrine. He'll start challenging you in every area of your life. We have to, the Bible tells us how to handle the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The word process means a succession of time or events or happenings that must occur in order to reach a desired outcome. Most of us in our prayer, we pray and we ask God, and in our prayer, let's be honest tonight about this. Most of us, when we pray, we do not pray and say, God, here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to work this out through the process of time. Am I right when I ask you this question tonight? Most of us pray and we say, God, would you work this out for me now? Would you fix this now? I want to feel better now. I want my marriage fixed now. I want my kids saved now. All those are not bad prayers. Sometimes we want our ministry now. We want to be a great soul winner now. But God is saying there's a process. You're going to have to develop some things in yourself. You got to develop a prayer life. You got to start witnessing. You got to start studying. If you're going to be a great Bible study teacher, you got to know the Bible to teach it. You don't wake up one morning and take three jelly beans and say, "Woo, I'm ready to go teach a Bible study." Those jelly beans won't help you much. They're not magic pills. You're going to have to get in the Word of God. You're going to have to study the Word of God. You're going to have to apply the Word of God to your life. You've got to develop some disciplines into your life. Can I tell you today that it doesn't matter? It just because you pray something and it doesn't happen now and it happens down the road doesn't mean it's not a miracle. I believe it's the same miracle if it happens today or whether it happens over a period of time. Same miracle. Same miracle, same God. It's the process that God is saying, do you have the faith? If God answered every prayer that we pray immediately the way we pray them, I'm afraid we would begin to start treating Jesus like a genie in the bottle. We would cast him aside except the moments that we need him, and then we would want to snap our finger and blink our eyes and say, show up and do it for me right now. But the Lord is looking for some people that will be consistent and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It's that kind of tenacity, that kind of faithfulness, that kind of security that I'm going to serve God. If God, I know he's going to answer my prayer, but if he never answers my prayer, I'm still going to be faithful. I'm still going to labor. I'm still going to work. I'm still going to show up. I'm still going to come be at prayer meeting. I'm still going to pay my tithing. Oh God, give me $1 million and get me out of my financial dilemma that I'm in. How about being faithful where you are? Right where you are today. Show God that you'll be faithful here and he'll meet your needs. It doesn't always happen now. And just because it's a word, you may have prayed and felt sincerely that God put a word in your heart. But timing with God is so different from the way that we look at time. See, we look at time as God speaks something, that must mean today. That must mean now. Believe me, I have been there. Most of us, we've all been there, could we not say? That there's been moments we've been there when God spoke something to us and we thought it was for now and it didn't happen for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 8, the scripture said, the Lord sent a word into Jacob and it lighted upon Israel. Will you give me some time to talk to you about that text? Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 8, the Lord sent a word into Jacob and it lighted upon Israel. Wasn't Jacob and Israel the same person, just with a name change? Yes, they were. The word came to Jacob, but it didn't show up in light. It came, the word came to Jacob, but it didn't come to fruition until he was Israel. Let me help you with this. Joseph was the son of Jacob. His name was changed and became Israel. The word of the Lord was not speaking to Jacob, but to the seed that was in Jacob. There were times when God speaks into your life, but he is not speaking into who you are now, but he is speaking into the potential that you have in your future. So the Lord comes, the word of the Lord comes, and the word of the Lord comes, and somebody comes and says, Aiden, the Lord wants to use you to be a great missionary. Don't worry, I'm not prophesying over you. I'm using you as an example. Your mom can rest easy. So God wants to use you to be a great missionary. That may be a prophetic word for him, but it may not be for this moment. Because right now he's only 12 or 13 years old. How old are you, Aiden? 12 years old. He doesn't yet have a driver's license. He doesn't have his diploma. He doesn't have his college degree. But it doesn't mean that God won't put a word in his spirit for what he's got for his future. And it gives him something to cling to and hold on to. Well, why is it important that God puts it now? I'm going to tell you why. Because when you know that you've been chosen of God and you know that God has called you and God has a purpose for you, you start living your life so that that potential can be fulfilled in your life. Instead of running with all the rest of the crowd and running around and drinking and drugging and getting a bad reputation and ruining your future, I can't do that. There's a word that was spoken over my life. God has called me to do a work for him. Y'all go on and do what you want to do. But as for me, God put a word in my spirit for my future, and I'm going to allow that to come to pass. Because a prophetic word spoken into your future, can I tell you, you have the potential to shipwreck it? Let me mess with some of you a little bit. Some of you think just because somebody comes along and says, God's got a great plan for you, then that means that I'm automatically forever saved. No, we don't believe that. We don't believe any kind of doctrine that says it's impossible for you to fall from sin. The Apostle Paul himself said, though I preach to others, I myself might become a castaway. The deal is God can speak potential into your future. And God says, this is what I see for you. This is what I have for you. But there is a process between your here and your there. Now live that process out and let me work what's right for you and best for you so I can get you to there. Hold on to the word. Hold on to the prophecy. Hold on to the dream. Hold on to the vision. But prepare yourself. Excuse me. Prepare yourself for where God's wanting to take you to. So a word of prophecy may be God's intention toward you. The potential that God sees in you. The word of the Lord came to Jacob but lighted upon Israel. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and formed thee, O Israel. If you're taking notes, you want to put those two together. Isaiah 43, verse 1, but now saith the Lord that created, everybody say created, created thee, Jacob, and formed thee, O Israel. Jacob, the man, the rascal, the supplanter. He's created by God. But Israel, the man that he was to become, had to be formed. God had to shape that into him. God had to, he had to work that into him. Because the person that God is wanting you to become, young person, you may not be that person today, but you've got to hold on to that dream and hold on to that calling and hold on to that vision and say, I'm going to allow God to take me from the person I was born to be to the person that he is calling me to be. Somebody said, well, I struggle. I struggle with inferiority. I struggle with all sorts of insecurities. I struggle with all of these self-image issues. That's all right. Keep struggling. Just don't ever give up. Refuse to see yourself the way the enemy wants you to see yourself. You're not inferior. I'm a child of the King. You're not destined to failure. You need to tell the enemy every day, I am who God says I am. I am a child of the King. His royal blood flows through my veins. On my own, I'm nothing, but through God, I can do all things. You need to get you some of those scriptures, like I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You need to write them down. Write them on your hands. Write them, what, do whatever. Put them in, post them everywhere you have them. Put them on your mirror. Get up every day and look at them and know, I know I'm prone to failure, but God's going to help me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you feel alone, you're not by yourself, because God says you're not by yourself. You cannot give in to the calls of the flesh, the enemy that would like to destroy you, but you have to understand what God speaks into you. He's going to give you a path to get to where he's wanting to take you. You want to have a deep prayer life like the missionary talked about the other night. You want to be an intercessor. You don't just wake up one morning and become an intercessor. Let me tell you what you do. You start praying now. Somebody says, I don't have a prayer life at all. Start praying. Well, Pastor, I can't pray an hour a day. Start praying 5 minutes a day, and then go to 10 minutes a day. And before long, you'll be praying 15 minutes a day. And you just keep adding to it and adding to it. And before long, God will take you to the point that you may become an intercessor that can stay on your face before the Lord for an extended period of time. But may I add to you, it's not about competition. It's about God doing through your life what he has intended for your life. What God has for me, he doesn't have for you. There may be parts of my life that God has for you, but he designed you to be you. He designed you to do what nobody else could do. You are better at being what you are than anybody else will ever be, because God called you, designed you, and he is developing you. If you'll fall in the process and say, just develop it, God. Let it develop in me. So Jacob was a rascal, but after God formed things in him and his name is changed, Israel literally means power with God. Jacob's name is changed to Israel, but not until he went through some things. He went through the process. The prophet Elijah sent the servant to the top of the mountain to look for a sign of rain. What if the servant would have refused? I want you to think about this. We read these texts and say, yeah, but he didn't. What if he would have? There are patterns all through the scripture. So the prophet of the Lord tells his servant, look, I want you to run up the mountain. He runs up the mountain, he comes back. I didn't see anything. Go back up the mountain. He goes up the mountain, comes back down. He has to do that 7 times. What is happening in those trips up and down the mountain? Maybe God was preparing the servant to be able to see what he could not see on the first trip, or the second trip, or the third trip, or the fifth trip, or the sixth trip. But eventually God worked something into that servant to when he got to the top of the mountain, he could see what the man of God had already heard. Sometimes we feel like, oh, there's just nonsense. There's nothing to this. Sometimes it's what the man of God has already heard. But God's saying, I'm trying to work something into you. I'm trying to get you to have the faith to believe that what God is speaking that he wants to do, he's going to do, and he's going to do through you. Oh, I don't need to climb the mountain. I already know what it looks like. That's how God works. It's through the process of climbing that the servant becomes prepared to see what the man of God was already telling him to go and look for. The reason some people never get their answer, never get their ministry, never get to experience a real encounter with the miraculous is because they're not willing to climb the mountain unless they're seeing something every time they go up the mountain. You know why we don't pray? Because sometimes we pray and God doesn't answer in an instant. And we lose faith in our own prayer and feel like, oh, I got to call Brother Dan, or I got to call Sister Paula, or I got to call Sister Nancy, or I got to call the pastor. I got to have somebody else do the praying for me. No, just keep climbing the mountain of prayer. God's going to come through and show you I'll answer your prayer just like I'll answer their prayer. But you've got to go through the process. You've got to go through the process. Don't get angry at those who are being blessed and God is using in the kingdom. Chances are they've been climbing up the rough side of the mountain for a very long time while others are waiting down at the bottom of the mountain. Oh, just bring me the answer down. Let me just find the easy way. I want to show up on Sunday for the dance, but I don't want to show up on Wednesday night and get into the Bible study. I don't want to show up at prayer meeting. I'll leave that for three or four others that want to show up to prayer meeting. I just want the move of God, and we want to come and dance over healings, miracles, and revival on Sunday. That's not how it happens. You know how the next wave of revival is going to come to this church? When my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. Then will I hear from heaven and will I heal their land. I'm going to tell you how it's going to come. It's not going to be when two or three do it. It's when my people. We have got to understand that we are part of God's process. We're part of God's process. God's process is not designed to kill you. It's designed to develop you. Oh, it hurts. Yes, it does. So does exercise. Exercise isn't designed to kill you. It's designed to teach you the disciplines that is needed so you can get a stronger heart and more better functioning muscles. Jacob had a dream, but God had to address the dreamer before the dream could ever come to pass. See, here's the deal. We all have lofty dreams, but we don't want God dealing with the dreamer. Oh man, I see where I could be. I see the position I could be in. I see the ministry God could take me to. Yes, you do. But before you ever get there, dreamer, God's going to have to deal with you. He's going to have to deal with the dreamer before the dream can ever come to pass. Every great man of God or woman of God has had to deal with the process. I'm closing. Moses couldn't live in his own house with his own kindred for 40 years. He's on hold 40 more years on the backside of a Midian desert tending sheep before God finally comes and speaks to him in a burning bush. David was anointed by King Samuel. And when he was a lad, he's anointed. But it wasn't his time because there was a process he had to go through. And during that process, he had to learn to tend sheep. He killed wild animals. He fought giants. He was chased by Saul for 16 years. He completed the majority of his writings of a songbook from a cave before he was finally crowned king of Judah. There is always a process before the promise. Don't let this message detour you today from pursuing what God has for your life, because the promise is worth the process. I can promise you every time that it will be better than you ever thought it could be. For many of you, you're already there. There's some young people here today that may just be starting out, but for many of you, you've already said yes to the Lord. You've already started on your journey. You're already, but if you haven't, today is the day to say yes to the plan of God. You need to submit to the will of God. Stop praying, God, I want you to lift the burden off of me. We need to start praying, God, let me take the burden upon myself. Let me find what you are trying to teach me. Let me learn the lesson. Instead of seeking popularity and seeking position, let me seek the process. That's a mouthful I just said. We all seek position, seek popularity. But how about the process? Could we seek the process? We can't wait to get started. There's never going to be a perfect time. There's never going to be a better time than now. God wants to work it into your life now. The sooner you start, the sooner you start the test, the sooner you can pass the test. There's no shortcut. You will always have to endure the testing. But to he that endures, the same shall be saved. Not to he that quits halfway through. Not to he that throws in the towel and says, this life's too hard. Not to him that says, there's no way, there's no possibility for me. No, but he that endures, the same shall be saved. I don't know about you, but I want to be saved. I think I know about you. You want to be saved? You want to hear him say, well done? You want your ministry to grow and develop? Sign up for the process. Stop skipping the process day and start saying yes to the process. Don't wait for better circumstances to get started. Well, as soon as things get a little more simplified in my life, I'm going to start my small group. As soon as my life gets a little more simplified, you know, school starts back in, I'm going to start praying, reading my Bible. Probably not. We're going to always find an excuse. This is the day of salvation. This is the day. Step up to it today. Accept the challenge today. You don't have to go somewhere else to be used of God. You can be used of God right where you are. God can use you right where you are, doing right what he's called you to do. I've seen a lot of people that's run to other places and said, I got to go somewhere else so I can be used of God. And here's what I've learned. When they get there, they don't do any more for God there than what they did when they were here. I've told my boys, and they've said it many times, and they've duplicated it over and over again, but we've got to learn to do what we can where we are with what we have. I want to challenge you today. I want you to find something in your life that God has urged you to do, or something you feel, a gifting, a calling that God has put into your life, something that you can do, that you know that God, you have a desire to be used in that area. I dare you to start taking a step of faith and say, I want to start learning how to do this. You want to teach a Bible study? You need to get in a class and start learning how to study the Word for Bible study. You need to get with people that are teaching Bible study and say, can I just sit through your class and watch you teach and listen to you teach? You want to be a prayer warrior? Why don't you go to some of the elders and show up to some of the midweek prayer meetings and just come and sit and just say, hey, I don't really know how to pray like you. I may not be able to pray an hour, but can I just come and just sit next to you and just kneel next to you and listen to you pray? And can I just pick up some of what you're doing? Let me just learn some of the process by watching those that have been down the road in front of me. It's not going to just wake up one morning and it happened. Ministry of all sorts in the kingdom of God comes through a birthing. We have to birth ministry. It has to come from our innermost being. You can't expect God to just hand you things and give you things. You can't expect pastor just to come and hand you things. I've had people come and say, oh, pastor, just give me something to do. Birth a ministry. Let it come out of your innermost being. Let it become a drive and a passion. If you do something just because I ask you to do it, chances are along the way you'll drop it because it's not your baby. But when you birth it, you'll take that baby and cradle it in your arms and you'll say, oh, I stayed awake at night praying over this. I protect this thing. I'm not going to let, because you birthed it yourself. But when somebody just comes and puts it in your hand, it doesn't mean nearly as much to you than when you stayed up at night rocking it. And when you prayed over it and cried over it and worked over it and gave to it and fretted over it, God is wanting to develop some of you. He's wanting to develop some ministry into some of you. And we're going to have to allow him to do so through the process of time. I want you to stand with me all over the building. Close your eyes, bow your heads with me right now. And I just want you to join with me in prayer. I want you to ask God to help us tonight. Would you lift your voice in prayer all over this room and ask God to help us, Lord, to submit to the process. The fields are white unto harvest, but the labors are few. Could we pray the Lord of the harvest? Come on, let's lift our voice right now in prayer unto the Lord. God, take us to the harvest field. In the name of Jesus, God, take us to the harvest field. Let us find the place you're calling us to. Oh, God, make us be what you would have us to be. Oh, come on, lift your voice in prayer right now. Would you just talk to the Lord right now? Oh, God, I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a Bible study teacher. I want to be an evangelist. I want to reach the lost. I want to